I liked what Miss Vicki had to say this morning. She and I did not talk about what we were going to do this morning, so we didn't know, but here it goes. You see, it's the time of year when many people are trying out new things. They are driven by resolutions designed to get their life back on track. Folks make early morning trips to the gym. They take midday winter walks, and they watch their diets a little closer. Then, of course, there is the resolution to watch less TV and do more reading. This culture provides so many ways to improve our lives. It is a wonder that we are not all blissfully happy and content, because our world is full of self-help everything. Just visit any bookstore and look at the self-help section. You will find a how to deal with any problem section. I mean, it's how to deal with anything. There it is. There's a book or a guide just for you about any life issue that you can imagine, that you can name. You see, there is something about a new year that pulls to us and awakens our desire to turn over a new leaf and to start afresh, to be able to start over, to find new ways at all levels of our life, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual. But the secret to all renewal is the spiritual life. If we start with that, the other dimensions of our lives will fall into place. If we neglect it, no diet or no number of push-ups or no miles walked or run will be enough to give us a sense of well-being. A long time ago, there was a man in need of renewal. Oh, he had grown tired of living in a world of contradictions and uncertainties. There was a time when he had had it all together, he thought, when he was sailing true north, but life had weighed him down, and now he just did not know if things were worth the effort anymore. Diets, exercise programs, self-help books, they all lacked staying power. They all lacked that one ingredient that made him continue. This man was ready to give it all up. What was the man's problem? He had begun to doubt his faith. Have you ever done that? Have you ever doubted your faith? He looked around at his world, and things did not fit as they should. He saw all kinds of contradictions in the world. The good people were taking it on the chin, and the bad guys were getting rich. Kind of looks like today a little bit. The righteous were being run out of town, and the ruthless were taking over the places of power. Still, it could be today or hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. People who play by the rules and did the decent things in life that they had been taught to do were getting taken advantage of by con artists who played that game with loaded dice, or they played with a stacked deck, or they made sure that they came out with the odds in their favor. You see, this man was tired of trying to make sense of life, much like the psalmist in verses 4 through 16 of Psalm 73 that we've just read. There are desperate verses, these verses are. They are a lament from one person who is ready to throw in the towel. He's ready to give up. He's ready to walk away. He is tired and he is discouraged, like so many of us today. Like so many people in our world today, he's just ready to give up. Then we come to verse 17, and then we hear the words, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God." Until I went into that place where I know I needed to go. You see, in the sanctuary, the psalmist found hope and faith came alive again for him, because in the sanctuary, he renewed his relationship with that one that would be the answer, the living God of all life. You see, life has a way of stumping us. Questions come that seem to have no good answers. Why do innocent people suffer? I've been asked that myself by many people. Where is God in the face of the gross injustice in the world? What is the will of God for me? Where can I find faith that will not be shaken by the hurricanes of contradiction and disappointment that can so brutally assault this life that we live in. Answers to these kinds of questions are found, and they are found. They are here. And they're not always easy. You know why? Because they have to deal with us. And we find answers in this book. And we find them within our heart and our soul whenever we take the time to come to know Him a little bit more, a little bit deeper, a little bit stronger. And yes, things are going to be tough. Life is not always easy. Things are going to hit us sometimes right where we live. You think the man said, I was sailing along and life was going great. I was headed due north. I knew everything was right. And then guess what happens? Life hit him square in the face. He thought his faith was strong. He thought that he could overcome. He thought that he could persevere. But the storms of life overtook him because he did not come to a place that would bring him life again. He did not come into the sanctuary of his soul, to the sanctuary of his heart, to a place. You see, we can find these answers, and these answers are in relationship rather than in words. They will always, in this world that we live in, there will always be contradiction and confusion in the experience of living our lives, in the experience of everyday things that come our way. But in the presence of the answer, which is God, you and I will prevail. You see, sacred space is so very important for our well-being. Where is your sacred space? I hope and pray that this place that you're in this morning is a sacred place for you. That's one of them. But where is your sacred place? You should have a sacred place in your home, in the great outdoors. Somewhere you should have a sacred place that is yours, that you can find it, that you go to that place and you talk to God. You should know where it is. You shouldn't have to think about it. It should be one that just says, this is where I know where it's at. And if you don't have one, go home today and find it. Go in your house and find your place. Go out in the yard, go out in the woods, find your place. Because you all need a place. You see, years ago, the ancestors of the Bible found their places. Everywhere they went, every place that they stopped, what did they do? I heard it. They built an altar. Our ancestors piled up rocks on top of each other to designate a place that was sacred. They built altars. They came into a place and they built an altar. They knew that that was a place. Why did they do that? Think about that. That was the first thing they did, was to, they thanked God for what He had done for them, for where He had brought them from and where He had brought them to. He had taken them from so many things, and they thanked Him. They lifted Him up. See, the cathedrals of our old are a testament to the value that earlier people gave to the power of worship. They're still around today. The house where you and I sit this morning for worship was created because people who lived before us knew that they needed a place to come to and put life back together once again. We all need a place that we can come to at least once a week. I hope you come more than that. To put life back together again. To be a place that you can find comfort. You and I gather here from time to time for most significant moments of life, such as weddings and funerals and baptisms. We come together because those are the joys. Those are the sad times. Those are the things that bring community together. Because it is in such moments that we need to be in the place that most fully represents the sacred thing in our lives. And the sacred thing is that of our Savior. You see, the psalmist was confused and confounded by life until he came into the sanctuary of God. We are too. You and I are also. You see, you can go to the gym, you can read all the books that you want to, you can make all the pilgrimages that you need to Walmart or wherever you go to, but nothing in this world will substitute for the sanctuary of God. in this new year, resolve to make worship a discipline in your life and of your life. Make it something that you become a part of, that you do daily. Worship with God and yourself. Find that place that you sit down and you take a moment and you read God's Word and you study God's Word and you pray to God. That place that you go to whenever you feel like everything else is gone. And you know what? It will change for you. Some of you it won't change because you get to stay in the same place. But for some of us that get to move, your place will change. If it's an actual physical thing. When I was a little girl, you know where my place was? The pond behind my house. It was an old irrigation pond and my mama hated it and she didn't want us going near it because she was afraid what? We were going to get in it and do something stupid like get drowned. That was not what she wanted for us. But I didn't get in it. I didn't like it for that. But it had lots of turtles in it. And there was a place at the end of it that was kind of shallowed out. We'd made it a lot smaller, so you didn't just plummet down. It was right there. And it was one of those quiet places that I would go and sit. And I threw rocks in it, and I'd done all kinds of things. But it was that place that in my life, years later, that I would go to. It was the place that I would lay down and look at the clouds and watch them roll by. It was the place that I went to when things hurt that I couldn't deal with. It was a place that I came back home to out of college when I was 21 years old. When one of my best friends was killed. It was a place that I went to and I just said, God, why? I don't understand. It's a place, we all need those places. For me, that place is no longer there. Because it belongs to someone else now. The land has changed, the pond has changed its dynamics, and that place is not there. That place is still here. That person is still me. God is still God. I had places at my home. I've got places that I went to. My home church was a place I used to go to. And I would sit on the front pew. And the way that the sun would shine in through the stained glass windows always made a shadow and it would cross and it would put it on the other one. And the reason I sat in that particular pew and looked at that particular window that was in my home church was because it was a picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking. And if you know that picture, and if you know it, you know that the what's good about that picture and what's bad about that picture. I don't think there's nothing bad about it. Picture makes one of the greatest pictures in the world. But the doorknob is on the inside. Jesus stands on the outside. And you and I have to open the door and let Him in. That's exactly what He is. He's standing at the door knocking. He's waiting for us. And we're the ones who've got to make that choice. And that was a place that I would go and I would look and I would sit. I don't go to that place anymore. Hardly ever. Because that place for me too has changed. My last church that I served had a prayer room in it. And I loved that prayer room. Oh, it was just wonderful. Oh, it was a quiet little room about the size of that room in the back. You could cut it off. And it had a little altar in it. It had a little chair and a couch. And it was the eternal flame was in that room. And it was a place sometimes in my day when things would be just driving me bananas. People would be coming at you from all different directions. And I would tell my secretary, I used to have one of those, and what a blessing. But anyway, thank you, Denise. And I'd say, I'll be in the prayer room. If anybody calls, if anybody needs something, I would go to that place because I had to renew me. Because if I didn't renew me, what was wrong? Boy, the next person that come in was going to get it. And that would not have been good for them, and it wouldn't have been good for me. We all have to find our place. We all have to find that spot. I've got a place in the parsonage here, and I've got a place right here. I come over here a lot in this place because it is a beautiful place. It's quiet. It's calming. It's good. It is a sanctuary. I come and I sit on these pews. Everybody say, gosh, she is crazy. I come and I sit on these pews. I come and I touch these pews, these chairs. And I pray for you. And I pray for me. I pray that God will bless what is going on in this place, what has happened and what is going to happen. That God will bless you on Sunday morning. I don't know who's going to be sitting in any particular place because sometimes you actually move to different places. Sometimes you don't all show up at the same time. But I bless who's going to ask God's blessings upon you that day for that week. I come to this place here. My knees don't allow me to do too much bending, but I sit sometimes. I come to this place. We all need a place to come. We all need a place. And sometimes we can have more than one. That's good. We can have many places, but we need to know what that place is in our lives. And we need to take advantage of it. We need to use it. We need to exercise that right. Come to the sanctuary regularly and often because it's a place of renewal. It is a place to find your way through the maze of life's questions and confusions. You see, in the sanctuary of God burns the sacred fire of hope that is the light of the world. In the light of that fire is the hope and the help and the truth. Do not neglect the sanctuary of God as the place to be renewed again and again. Don't neglect it. Don't put it off because we do not know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next moment holds. Do not keep putting off because we don't know. I invite you this day to come to this place. Come to this altar. Come and pray. Come and talk. Come and share. Come and be. Come and allow God to work in and through your life. I want you to think about that this day. And I'm going to change our hymn this morning because I've been thinking. And it's a hard, it's tough when I get to thinking. Miss Iris is going to be hymn number 400. And if I'm not crazy, that should be Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. All right. Stand as we sing hymn number 400, Come Thy Fount.